Hey, inmates. Darian here. Those of you that have been with me for a while probably know that the fact that you're not listening to Bauhaus right now means that I have some bad news. And any of you that are on the Facebook page already know, but I thought I would come on and just say a few words before we get into the show. It's going to be just me this week, inmates, so this may be a bit of a short one. There's really only one regret that I have regarding this podcast, and that's that my father never got to hear it. He passed away in 2009. And I can say this without any doubt or uncertainty that he would have absolutely adored this thing of ours. I never, ever would have done a solo show if my father was still alive. He would have been here probably 2 hours early. He would have had a stack of 3x5 cards tucked into his pocket full of corny jokes, and he probably would have stopped and got me a McDonald's breakfast before every show. And the last thing, and this I am 100% positive of, he would have absolutely adored Gracie's Poppy. I would even venture to say that he would have made a pilgrimage to New Jersey to have a beer or two with him. Gracie's Poppy passed away Friday night, for those of you that don't know. Oh, fuck. I often wonder what it is I'm doing here, you know? Like, we're not going to make any money doing this, probably ever, and that's fine. But what is this thing that's happening? I've spoken before about the intimacy of the podcast. And you know, we're not the guys you hear coming out of your car stereo when you start the engine in the morning. You had to find us. And we didn't make it easy on you. You had to track us down. You had to discover us. You had to download and subscribe. And then you had to go to all the trouble of taking us with you throughout your daily routine. And don't get me wrong, inmates. I'm deeply honored that you've chosen to do so. So, I don't know. I mean, this was supposed to be just a hobby. This was supposed to be an excuse for me to hang out with my friends. And I don't know what it's turned into. What I do know is that Friday night, as the situation was deteriorating in New Jersey, Sarah, who we all know and love, was keeping me abreast of things as they were happening. And, you know, I did what I could here we have a young lady that's unarguably living the worst night of her life. And across the country is a guy with a microphone. And, you know, I offered as much support as I could on behalf of all of us, because I know we all wished we could be there. But really, I mean, all any of us could do is just to be present, right? In that evening, in that night, in that moment, and just to be with her. So, oh, fuck. I should probably have said this before, but if this is your first episode of the Padded Room podcast, you should probably go to the next one or the one before, because this is not going to be a very good starting point for you. Oh, fuck. I don't know, my friends. I don't know where we're going. I don't know where we go from here. I don't know what's happening, but I know that Gracie's Poppy will definitely be missed. Sarah, if you're listening, I don't even know what to say.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Padded Room Radio. The show must go on, my friends. I am still here. My name is Darian. I'm bringing you the show by myself this week. I gave Monica and Buddy the night off. The week off, real. But what a fucking week it's been, huh? Holy shit. For those of you that haven't been on Facebook, I actually had a baby this week also. Daphne Lucille Brock, born 8:43 a.m. Wednesday morning. Oh, my God. And then, of course, the GP thing, ladies and gentlemen. He will be missed. For those of you who are interested, there is a GoFundMe page on the Facebook group. We're going to be posting that regularly. Anybody, if you feel like helping out Sarah and her family in this time of need, it would be greatly appreciated. I'm going to do it. You should do it. I don't know. Yeah, go ahead. So whatever you can afford, though, you know, don't break yourself over this. Sarah, if you're listening, our hearts go out to you completely, my dear, of course. If there's anything else we can do, any of us at all, I don't know what you would need from us, but other than being present for you and with you, and thank you again for keeping me abreast and everybody else up to date on your dad and his condition and the events of Friday night. I know that was a very difficult time for you. It wasn't easy on any of us, man. And I should also extend, you know, even beyond the padded room, your dad was like a international podcast horror superstar, pretty much. You know, he was on the Corpse Cast. He was the one that got me into podcasting. He had to accept my application to the old Cadaver Lab forum so that I could get in, so that I could join in on this nutsackery. And now he's gone, and he's going to be very much missed. But the show will go on here in the padded room, as promised. What do we got? We got Nobody and Monica, so this might be a short one, inmates. This is going to close out Public Domain Month, courtesy of Tony here in the padded room. I have some horror news, and I have some listener mail, so why don't I go ahead and get into all of the above and the regular crap show that comes with it. We're going to start it off with some horror news.
Horror news.
Mm-hmm. How about, what do we got here? Blumhouse. You know the name? You love them? They do all kinds of good work over there. They have acquired the rights to Todd McFarlane's Spawn remake. / adaptation, whatever you want to call it. I don't know that this is ever going to happen, kids. We've been talking about this for like 4 years now. Do we need another Spawn movie? Is Spawn that big? He was huge. Like, what, late 90s, early 2000s? He was the superhero to be. But these days, I don't know if are they even still making the comic books for Spawn? I don't know. I don't care, to be honest with you. I never got into it. There was a pretty dope animated series on HBO for a while. Got pretty dark. And they didn't pull a lot of punches over there. So I don't know if you're into, I mean, it might be all right. It's probably going to be pretty heavy on the CGI, though, right? With all that flesh to steel crap. I don't know, man. I might check it out. If people dig it, I'll be into it. What else we got here? American Horror Story Season 7. Now, if you're up on the show, you should be under the impression that it was going to be American Horror Story Election. Turns out not to be. It's going to be American Horror Story Cult. Which I think there may still be some election connotations in there. I know this season was supposed to be inspired by the 2016 election. It looks pretty dope. They unveiled a bunch of stuff at Comic-Con. A lot of artwork and stuff. A lot of clowns. What did I tell you? Clowns, right? With all these It trailers, we are going to be awash in Killer Clowns, and American Horror Story is going to start us off. So it's going to be called Cult. The images show a bunch of killer clowns. One image shows like a skull being peeled back and a beehive underneath. So I don't know how far they're going to go with the election thing. I'm into it, though. I was not looking forward to American Horror Story election, because I felt like we were going to get a impacted colon full of somebody else's politics. Cult, maybe not so much. Maybe a little bit with the politics, but we'll have to wait and see. I don't think it can be any worse than Roanoke, kids. Roanoke was bad. They fucked up with that found footage thing, I think. Anyway, that's something to look forward to. Are you ready for some more Chiller original films? I am not, because they all suck, but they have just announced a Dementia 13 remake. Now, I don't know, dude. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm predisposed to not liking Chiller films because they all suck. Is there a good Chiller film out there? I don't think there is. The closest thing you could get to a not-as-bullshit movie would be that Siren that came out. There was some TNA in there, but it still wasn't that great. This one is going to be Dementia 13 remake. I don't really give a crap. You know, Dementia 13 is pretty good show. It was Francis Ford Coppola's first movie, if you're not paying attention. It's not bad. The original isn't, and it's, I don't know. It's, I'm just going to file this under Who Gives a Shit, I guess. I mean, I like Dementia 13. I don't think it really needs a remake. You could get away with doing like a shot for shot, because the original was pretty much rated G. It was more like a murder mystery in an old house. So they could do it, but I'm not too worried about it because they're probably going to fuck it up. So good job with that, Chiller Films. Your reputation has preceded you, you fuck faces. Thought they were going under anyway. Who gives a shit? Some local news here in Nevada. It looks like the old Tonopah Clown Motel is up for sale. You know that fucking clown motel they show in all the Ghost Hunter shows? With the, it's basically a meth head motel, but it's super decorated with clowns. It's in Tonopah, Nevada. You know, that's problem number one. Why the fuck are you going to Tonopah, Nevada? Unless you're on your way to Vegas and your car breaks down. That's not exactly a vacation destination. For those of you that don't know, Tonopah is about, I'm going to put it about 2 hours north of Vegas. It's in the middle of the goddamn desert. There's nothing there. There's a high school. I think they have like a library. They do have a gas station. I'll give them that. I went to a high school dance there once. Funny story, I lost a bet because my buddy beat me at Mortal Kombat 2. 2 out of 3, he beat me. So I had to go to this high school dance. He had a girlfriend down there. And he was nervous to go by himself, so I had to go with him. That's a disaster waiting to happen. Clown Motel, it's $900,000. This is not a business opportunity, kids. I was talking to a buddy in Monaco about it. I would go in if I thought there was any kind of opportunity to make money off of that. There is not. It's in Tonopah, Nevada. There's nothing there. It's just dirt, really, and a gas station. No, I'm not buying the Clown Motel. I'm not going to do it. What else we got here? We got Shark Week coming at us. Here we go. Here comes another month and a half of shark bullshit. Looks like you can watch Michael Phelps race a great white shark. It's on YouTube and bloody disgusting. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how the hell? Do you mean watch Michael Phelps get eaten by a great white shark? Because that makes more sense. No, kids. Almost false advertising in a weird way. What they did was they basically calculated the rate that the shark would swim, and then they just had Michael Phelps swim like a lap, and then they CGI'd a shark in next to him in the ocean. And Michael Phelps, I'll go ahead and ruin it for you. Michael Phelps lost by 2 seconds. So whatever. I mean, it's not a real shark, number one. It's just basically he's just racing the clock. And there was no danger of him being eaten because there was no shark present during the filming of the race. So there you go. If you really want to see that, it's on Bloody Disgusting or YouTube. It's pretty lackluster, pretty anticlimactic, really. Once you figure out that that's a CGI shark, then you're like, this is, why am I even watching this? I don't know. It's just watching Michael Phelps swim, really. I mean, he's a fast swimmer, I'll give you that. And when they filmed this, he was wearing like a weird shark apparatus suit thing. I don't know. Made him look like a mermaid, is what I'm telling you. It's like a giant fin that came out behind him, and he's like, you know, through the water with the gyrations. He's fine. He's a good swimmer. He's like a multi-gold medalist, I'll give you that. But he can't beat a great white shark, at least not on paper. I don't know. And there's no danger of him being eaten by one in the course of this race. So you don't have to worry about that. That's all I got on the horror news, boys and girls. Let's move it over to some listener mail, shall we? This is going to be a tough one, kids. I'm not going to lie to you. This is going to be the first listener mail segment in quite some time that didn't have either Sarah or Gracie's Poppy.
Listener mail.
Alrighty, we got emails, a couple voicemails. Got a feeling this one's going to be hard on all of us. You may have to bear with me as I read these. This is probably going to be pretty emotional. I will do my best not to fall apart, though. Let's start it off in Sydney, Australia. Here comes Tim. Subject line, rest easy, friend. Hey guys, can I start off by saying something? I've just woken up to hear the horrible news of our friend GP. As I write this, tears roll down my face. It's funny how I'm crying over a guy I never actually met, yet GP had a big impact in, I'm sure, all of our lives. That's exactly what I'm talking about, Tim. You know? I don't know what this podcast thing has become or where we're going, but it's quite the community slash family that we've created here. And by we, I mean anybody who's listening to my voice right now. All of our lives, I'd be sitting watching this week's immersion therapy and thinking, oh, I can't wait to hear what GP has to say about this one. He was one of the reasons I got excited to wake up and listen to this podcast. Sarah, I cannot begin to think of how hard this must be for you and your family. If he had an impact on me, a guy from across the world, I cannot begin to think just how much he was loved and respected. I'm so sorry for everyone's loss. He's definitely going to be missed. Thanks for all the laughs. R.I.P. GP. Terradome, I'll take the Creeper and the Demons. Thanks, guys. Creeper and the Demons. Thank you, Tim. And I don't know if Sarah's going to hear this anytime soon. I imagine listening to a horror podcast probably isn't top priority on her list right now, especially this one, considering that this was somewhat of a bonding point. So we'll just have to wait and see. Sarah, if you are listening, I hope you get back to us soon. If not, what, you know, yeah, just take your time, babe. Whatever you want to do. Subject line, here comes Sean from right here in Reno, Nevada. Subject line, votes. I have no idea who Monica is this week, so I'm just going votes again. Singles, I'm going with the Creeper because I don't think Chucky's little stumpy legs could even catch up to the Creeper, especially once he starts flying. You're exactly right, Sean. I agree with you. Around teams is kind of a toss-up for me. I don't lean strongly either way, so I'll just toss my vote to whichever team is losing as this is being read. That's it for me, Sean. Right now it's the Nightbreed. They're down 3-2. So I'm going to put you down for the Nightbreed. And there's that. Thanks for writing in, Sean. Up next we got Ryan. Subject line, Terradome and such. Ryan coming in from Billings, Montana, I believe. Hey, Padded Room, I hope you all are doing okay. First up, let's get the picks out of the way. For singles, I will take the Creeper, and in teams, I will vote for the Nightbreed. Oh, this one's looking like a blowout, boys and girls. Very cool. I also wanted to say that I will miss GP dearly. I didn't really know him, but I do know he always brightened up my day with his voicemails and his love for K7. I guess I just want his family to know how much Tom... How much Tom unknowingly touched my life. My condolences to his family, Ryan. Thanks, Ryan. Like I said, man, I don't know if they're listening to this, but hopefully they will at some point. So there's that. Here comes Christina. Subject line, demons versus monsters versus a doll. Okay. Hi there, Padded Room. Time to bet on some brackets again, but first I want to send my condolences to the family of GP. I'm so sad to hear of their loss. I hope they're able to find solace in my... solstice? So I think she meant solace. In happy memories and in the coming days, weeks, months, and years. You never really get over losing a loved one. You just find new... God damn it, Christina. Okay. You never really get over losing a loved one. You just find new and better ways of coping as time goes on. I just want to let them know I'm sending love and coping juju their way. Now the brackets. First up are the Teamsters, Demons versus the Nightbreed. I'll be honest, I kind of zoned during Nightbreed. I was probably working on homework because the storyline sounded vaguely familiar when Matt reminded me of it. I did a little research, as I do, to figure out who would win in a showdown. I think I'm going to have to go with the Demons. Pretty much any demon over the Nightbreed. According to the all-knowing Wikipedia, there is a way to kill the Nightbreed. The crazy psychotherapist learns how and kills a bunch of the hotel guests. Demons aren't really killable. They can be vanquished back to hell, but they're still demons and theoretically could possess a body and come back to keep fighting. We just finished the rite last night, and if a demon could possess an exorcist priest, then I'm pretty sure they're adept at switching bodies. Well, I mean, if you really want to think that much into it, Christina, maybe you should write some kind of a novelization of that. That sounds like a pretty good story. So I choose demons. Hell, if I have to pick one, let's go with Baal, demon of the right, just because he's fresh in my mind over the Nightbreed. She's got a point there, kids. The Nightbreed can be killed. Well, I mean, they can be killed, but demons can be vanquished or banished back to hell, which in its own right is kind of like a kill, I assume. So either one, it could go either way, really. But she's taking the demons. I get that. And the individual seems like an easy choice. It seems to me that the creeper, Jeepers Creepers, could easily defeat Chucky. I mean, Chucky is crazy, and there's something to be said about the strength of the Cray, but he's sort of, well, a doll. All I can think of when someone says Chucky is Rugrats, actually. Then I think of the showdown between Chucky, the possessed doll, and the mother, and the tiny little bite mark he leaves on her. Yeah, it's stupid, man. It's stupid. That's a dumb thing. That's Chucky. Okay, you got your Child's Play. That one was pretty dope. But, I mean, we didn't get to see Chucky in his full glory until like the last 20 minutes of the movie. You get Child's Play 2 and 3. They're fine, but you're getting 90% wisecracking Chucky, 10% horror, right? And then you get into Bride of Chucky and Seed of Chucky, and you might as well just fucking throw those right out the window. Can a tiny bite mark kill the creeper? I don't believe so. Doesn't seem likely. The creeper is a super old monster and it can fly. Pretty sure I can maim and evade a 2-foot doll pretty easily. That's what I'm saying, Christina. You take a 9-iron, you wait till he comes around the corner, and you tee off on his little ass. And then that's the end of your horror movie anyway. And now I'm pissed off. Let's think about some of these Child's Play movies. Remember Child's Play 2, when he beat a lady to death with a ruler? A ruler. A school supply. Okay. Now you're reaching a little bit here, writers of Child's Play 2. You expect me to sign off on a doll beating somebody to death with a ruler? I could see a ball-peen hammer, you know? A regular hammer, claw hammer. I don't know. I don't know what other school supplies would be readily available. A compass. He could get a compass and stab her to death. No. You went with a ruler. And you expect me to be afraid of this little bitch. All right, forget it. Now I'm getting angry. Anyways, scream on as always. My lunch break is nearly up, and I should probably clear my search history because I've searched demons and the creeper and some serial psychotherapist murderer from my computer. Christina. Thanks for writing in, Christina. Here comes her boyfriend, One Cake Wolf. Subject line, buy my book. Man, shit has blown up lately. God bless GP's family and God bless Romero's family. Give me the Deadites over the night breed. Well, they're demons, but I'll give them to you anyway. Same difference, I suppose, right? The breed is too organized. Deadites would tear them up. Unorganized, I think, is what he was going for. Taking the creeper over Chuckles. Yes, you are. I've always thought that Chuck would be incredibly powerful if they played around more with the fact that he knows voodoo, like they touched upon in the first film with the voodoo doll. See, now that makes sense, Cake Wolf. That's a good observation, and that's something. Now I'm really pissed off. I watch these horror movies, and we get into like the third and fourth episode in the franchise, and I'm watching them thinking, did they just give up? Did they hire a 12-year-old to write this? How does this shit even get made? How does this make sense to anybody? Cake Wolf tying it all together, though. Thank you very much, Cake Wolf. Because they refuse to explore the character beyond a slasher icon or the goofy jokes, I have to go with the creeper. You can't masturbate your way out of this fight, Chuckles. I agree with you, sir. I agree 100%. Two more for the creeper. Looking like a blowout. Are you guys willing to make and try out my stuff drink? I thought it was very tasty and think you guys would really enjoy it. Cake Wolf out. Sure. I saw the recipe. Dude, you're getting a little crazy. You're getting a little crazy with the drinks there. That one required like a Bunsen burner and some beakers. And I think you needed like some kind of eye of newt or something. I don't know. I will look into that, Cake Wolf, and we will definitely... I'm not afraid of drinking alcohol. I don't know if you noticed or not, but I will definitely give that a shot. Here comes Cake Wolf again. Subject line, for the kid. When my pop died... I'm assuming he's talking to Sarah. When my pop died, I never really got over it. As far as I know, it's something you take with you forever. There's times that I'll wake up and want to call him, forgetting that he's gone. It's weird, but that's how it goes, I suppose. It does get easier over time, but it never quite goes away. You become a different person when you lose a loved one. The experience both matures you and alters your perception on the frailty of it all. My dad got me into horror, and that's something I'll always love him for doing. You can thank him for everything I do, and when it comes down to it, there's a choice that needs to be made. Will you learn from what they taught you and become a better person from the experience, or will you let the death consume you? It's easy to give in to the loss and lose yourself in it. It's a lifelong battle, at least for me. What helps is the courage to know that you're going to do great things and what you want to leave behind for your loved ones and the people that help you get there. The padded room are some of my loved ones.
Oh, fuck.
I told you this was going to be a rough one. All right, from the top. The padded room are some of my loved ones, and they're yours too. God damn it, Cake Wolf. We're all in this together, and we'll support you in your loss. Please don't be a stranger, Cake Wolf. Fucking fuck. I hope he hears this. He's probably making fun of me right now. Okay. Here comes another one from Cake Wolf. Subject line, by the way, we're still not even daring. Oh, God damn it, Cake Wolf. Yeah, that's another picture of a naked senior citizen. At least this one is a lady. At least that one was a lady. God, great. Dude, I have your email also, you motherfucker. I'm going to start sending you pictures. Oh, God damn it. All right. Here comes Angel from Oakland, California. Subject line, happy belated birthday, Darian. Don't you forget when you write an email and forget to send it before you go on vacation? I'm sending it now without adjusting. Hopefully you guys haven't recorded yet. Terradome, I wonder if you ever think of letting Buddy make his vote first. You always have him choose last and hate that he goes against you. Ha! That's a good point, Angel. I should look into that. I choose Chucky. Monica got bullied into choosing the creeper. I did not bully her into choosing the creeper. She was right, though. You can't kill Chucky. He's not just a doll. He is possessed by the soul and can jump around and possess others. There's no reason the creeper would even be after him, right? As for teams, this is another hard one. I love the Nightbreed, but demons from the movie Demons, or Evil Dead Demons, or Night of the Demons, I'm going to have to go demons. Too many good demons. That's a good point. Two more for the demons. Right on, right on. That's all. Now I'm off to vacation and visit a friend in Texas where we'll be seeing Jaws on the water. More on that when I return. Angel. Thanks for writing in, Angel. That sounds cool, man. I've always wanted to do that. Now they're doing that all over the place. They rent out like a lake, put up a big giant screen and show Jaws, and then you get to float around out there while the movie's playing. How dope is that? I gotta get back in shape first, though. Or I should say get in shape. I don't know that I was ever in shape to get back in shape, per se. That's it on the emails. Let's get into a couple of voicemails here, shall we? Voicemails. Let's start it off with... I don't know. This is a local number. Let's see who this is.
Hey guys, Chuck here.
No, it's Chuck.
It's been a while since I've called into the show. To be honest, I've just been too busy and tired to creatively think of ways to
tell us how bad the show sucks.
How bad the show is.
Fuck you.
But that being said, the good thing about your show is its supporters and the great people who love the show. And I know that you've recently lost one of your best of those good people.
We have.
And I just wanted to give my condolences to the Padded Room family, to GP's family, and to Sarah. I know I don't know her, but just wanted to say, hang in there, keep your chin up, and that's all I got for now. Take care. Talk to you later.
Later, man. Very cool, Chuck. Thanks for calling in and not berating us for once. This is a motherfucker, my friends. There's no way of getting around that. GP was family to us all, I think. Here comes another one. I believe this to be Alan.
Well, damn.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, GP. I hope, my thoughts and me and Shelly's thoughts and prayers are with Sarah.
Of course.
And the rest of his family. I know you're looking down on us, buddy. Damn.
Yeah.
Feel weird, you know, Terradome. I guess me and Shelly are both picking Chucky.
Okay.
And she wants the demons.
Okay.
And I'm going with the Nightbreed. And I'm not sure who Monica is.
I don't even remember her clues.
That's all I got. Everybody just... you know, life's short.
Sure is, man.
Love the ones you're with. Treat everybody good. Rest in peace, GP. Talk to y'all later. Bye.
Fuck, Alan. God damn it. Oh, okay. All righty. Excuse me. Thanks for calling in, Alan. Oh, fuck. This is probably... this is probably one of the hardest. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for that. I don't know what else to say, my friends. This is a tough one, right? Ah, fuck. Let's just get into the movie.
This is ridiculous. Look at this place. Look at the place.
This is bizarre.
No, it's not bizarre. It's what happens when you let Steve... Hold on. This is ridiculous.
Is this blood? What about that camera?
That's what you've got to know, is you're not crazy. This is very real.
We're gonna call them transdimensional entities.
Yep, we're talking about the Dark Tapes. I'm talking about the Dark Tapes. This is one's from 2017. It's found footage anthology, people. It's no VHS, I'll tell you that. This one stars Emily Erizurien, Danielle Baez, and Caitlin Bailey, directed by Vincent J. Gustini, written by Michael McQuown. Quone? I don't know. I don't know how you pronounce that. This one's coming in at 5 stars even on the old IMDb. It's a found footage anthology. We're going to start off with our wraparound. So the story behind this movie, and I don't know how factual this is that three friends wanted to make their own independent horror films. None of them had a decent budget to go off of. So they shortened all their films down to anthology length. And then went found footage with it, combined their budgets, and what we have are the Dark Tapes. So this one starts off with like this weirdo disclaimer. Basically says that humans are getting close to discovering us, but not to worry because we will stop them from discovering us. And then from there we jump right into our first segment. Now this is our first segment, but it's actually also going to serve as our wraparound because we're going to jump from segment to segment and get back to this one as we go. We start off with some security camera footage, and we see a young couple standing outside a building. Midday, mid-afternoon, they're standing there. There's like the two of them, they're like pacing around, and there's a bench right up against a wall. Now, 1 second, the bench is empty. Next second, there's a camera sitting on the bench, like literally like a blink. But of course, we get that cute little film distortion to offset it. So they see the camera, they're like, hey, where'd that camera come from? And then they pick it up, and then they go inside the building that it's sitting next to. Now, through some dialogue, basically what I'm gathering here is that this couple owns that building, okay, and they rented it out to somebody else for some kind of a film experiment slash maybe a porno shoot type of thing. I don't know. We don't know just yet. But they go inside the building, they take the camera with them. Now, the camera is rolling, the one that just appeared on the bench there. They go in there, and what we see on the inside of the building is that it's basically a theater. I'm going to say like 20 to 30 seats tops. Very small theater. Stage up front, and, you know, the chairs and the rows and all that shit. Now, they go in, and they're immediately pissed off at a guy named Steve. Apparently, they rented this building to this Steve guy, and he has left it in not very favorable shape, which sucks. Because we look up at the stage, and there's a bed. There's a bunch of, like, weird equipment and some chains and shit. And it looks like, at a glance, I would say they probably filmed a porno there. Although there's no sex toys or lubes or condoms or anything of that nature. You know, none of the staples you'd hope to find in the process of making a sex movie. Anyway, they get up there. They're poking around. They're all pissed off. They're complaining about Steve and how they're never going to rent the building to him again. And then they get the big idea to go through the look at the footage that's on the camera that just showed up. And apparently some of the other cameras that are there also, to see what the fuck actually happened the night before. Okay, very cool. So from there, we're going to jump into another, like, different clips and stuff that's been edited together. We're looking at security cam footage from the theater, the more footage from the camera, the handheld camera and stuff like that. Basically, what we're showing from the previous night is that a team... not necessarily a team, but a group of college students and scientists got together in this. Well, it's really just Steve, who's like a professor, his teaching assistant, who he may or may not be banging, and then a film producer type of a dude, like a film student type of guy. And basically what they want to do is conduct some experiments, and they're going to the film student kid is going to film the whole thing, and it's going to be great. Now, the nature of the experiments has to do with night terrors, demons, and what we're calling, for the purposes of this film, time dilation. Hang out with me on this. I'm going to do my best to explain it. According to them, and I'm going to just fucking glaze right through a lot of this, when you sleep, your dream consciousness dilates time in a fashion that, like, I think they said, like, 16 minutes in what you perceive in your dream equals 1 second in reality. So you have these big elaborate dreams, and then you wake up and you find out that you've been asleep for like 8 minutes, and that's how that happens. So according to them, these night terrors or sleep demons, whatever, they exist in a dream state because they exist in a time dilation that can only be perceived while you're dreaming or while you're really tired or... while you're stoned, maybe. I don't fucking know. And they explain the whole thing. That's basically what it boils down to. So what they want to do, they want to... they've got this pretty cool-looking retro camera that can shoot and... that can record and play back in super slow motion. So theoretically, using this cool camera, putting somebody to sleep and filming the whole thing, they should be able to catch one of these dream demons slash night terrors on film. That's the plan going into this. Okay, now from there, we're going to cut immediately to our first real segment, which was kind of weird because I don't know why they didn't just stay with that one, but whatever. We'll get back to the time dilation thing in a minute. Now we cut to our first segment, Hunters Become Hunted. Okay, well, that's original, isn't it? Hunters Become Hunted. All right, so we're still in found footage land. All of these are found footage. We open up with a guy surprising his wife with a new house. And apparently she has never seen the house because she's led into it blindfolded and placed on the couch. And then he takes the blindfold off and surprise, oh, here's this new house. It's pretty cool. Big house. Looks like it's in the Southern California area. And, you know, pretty cool furnishings. Older couple, I should also say. And we get like a good 10 minutes of them just... you know, day-to-day life in the new house, and she's, like, moving stuff around and redecorating and shit like that. She's pretty happy with the house, though, so that's exciting. About the 10-minute mark, maybe a day or two after they move in, we start with the paranormal crap. We start off with, like, the footsteps upstairs, and then they go upstairs to check it out, and then the footsteps downstairs, and they go downstairs to check it out. There's nobody there. And then from there, shit starts getting rearranged a little bit. You know, I mean, nothing... hostile. They like, she goes downstairs and there's a bunch of candles on the coffee table. Then she comes back upstairs and the candles are now like on the end table. So they're documenting all this because that's what you do. Eventually they get wise to the fact that there's a ghost in the house. So they take like a little softball that glows. They throw it down a dark hallway, and it gets like thrown right back at them. Okay, pretty cool. So now they're starting to get freaked out. And eventually the lady is like, you know what? I don't want to live here anymore, or we got to do something about these ghosts. So they call the local paranormal investigation team slash squad, whatever you call these fucking guys. Paranormal Investigations of the Pacific People, I guess. I don't know. It was PIPP. I remember that much. Which was ironic because the host of this little shindig is British. I don't know if this was like a TV show or a web series or what. But anyway, they come in and they set up all their cameras and they start doing their EVP sessions and all that. And we learn that the couple that bought the house actually had a daughter that died earlier, previous to this. I guess she was like 10 or 12 years old. Pretty cool. So they're walking around. They're doing looking for, you know, fucking evidence of ghostly presence shit, whatever. And we get a little bit with the jump scares here. We get some doors slamming and some cryptic stuff written on the mirror. And eventually they come across this little girl wearing a dress. And she is not acknowledged as the daughter of the people, but it's quite possible. All right, so we cut around to that. Eventually, we see like one of the guys with one of the camera guys gets like dragged into a room, and then we see the host lady kind of gets jumped in the dark, and then we find the remaining camera guy finds their dead bodies in a bathtub. The first camera guy has his eyeballs out, and the lady, the British lady, has her throat slit. And then he gets, he's like, well, fuck this, dude, I'm out of here. He hauls ass down the stairs and eventually gets knocked down, rolls around on the ground, and then he's out also. And this is where we get our big reveal that the family that hired these ghost hunters are actually serial killers that specialize in killing ghost hunters. So they've used all this fucking footage to lure them there, and now they're basically killing the ghost hunters. Pretty creepy, right? Pretty scary stuff there. Okay, so that's pretty nasty. That's the end of your first segment. Now we cut back to segment our wraparound. What we have here is they're about to... Now, they've got this whole fucking thing wired. We're back in the theater with the time dilation people. And what they're going to do, they're going to... The professor guy is going to take himself a nap. And we're going to film it with the special camera there. So that's exactly what happens. He lays down. Apparently, he's trained himself to sleep. So he can like put himself to sleep whenever he wants. How cool would that be? How do you train yourself for that? Just take naps all day? That's a skill I would love to have. Be able to fall asleep whenever I want? Fuck yeah, dude. I would get a lot more done. No, I would not. Actually, I'd get a lot more sleeping done. Anyway, he takes a nap and we start rolling on the special camera and we get like a quick glimpse of this demon character. This demon looks badass, dude. I'll tell you that much. He's like a skeleton with like chunks of meat hanging off him. But then the guy wakes up and then the demon disappears. So we only got to see him for like a second or two. So there's that. That's pretty scary stuff. And he's like, oh, what happened? Oh, I don't know. I thought I saw him. I don't know if we saw him or not. So that's pretty cool. Now we cut to the second segment. This one's called Cam Girls. This is probably my least favorite segment out of this lot here because it's just stupid. it's just dumb. All right, so we start off with a Skype conversation between a very attractive young lady and somebody that appears to be like her lifelong friend, a guy with a beard. And basically, we're surmising that she is in a like some kind of a lesbian relationship and she's doing cam work to make ends meet, which is fine. I'm cool with that. Basically, that's like where you're on a chat cam and people pay you to take your clothes off and or finger yourself. But the dude that she's talking to is like an old friend of hers and he's like some kind of a med student. So she's asking him questions about a possible condition she may have in which she's blacking out and doing things that she doesn't quite recall. He's like, well, have you been drinking? Yes. Have you been taking drugs? Yes. He's like, well, I think I can nail this one down for you there, Peanut. And she's like, well, I don't know. I'm just acting like such a weirdo when I'm blacked out. I see all this video footage of me doing weird stuff. And he's like, well, yeah, that's what happens when you drink and do drugs, you meatball. So, I mean, that's our pretext. And she's going to do a cam show with her lesbian young lady friend who I think they're supposed to be like in a serious relationship or whatever. Anyway, the friend shows up and they're about to get down. They're doing some kind of a live giveaway for their regular viewers. So they pop up like 9 viewers, like Brady Bunch style on the screen. And they're going to pick one at random and they're going to get the big show for free tonight. The rest have to go fuck themselves, literally. So they pick up their 9 listeners. There's like one chauvinist dude who's like, take it off, you fucking bitches. And then there's like one hot emo chick. And then there's like a bunch of other random dudes who don't even say anything. And then there's one fat hairy guy who's like at the bottom of the screen who's, you know, complimenting them and being very gentlemanly. So they decide that the fat guy is going to be their lucky winner for tonight. So they pick him. They tell everybody else to fuck off. And then it's showtime. Now, what we get like a little muted conversation between these two whores. And basically what they want to do, they want the fat guy to cut himself. So apparently the blonde, the slightly less hotter of the two, gets turned on by that. So she's like, we're going to make him cut himself tonight. It's going to be hot. It's going to turn me on. This is what they pay for. So they get on there and they're not, first off, if you're paying for a girl on girl, like chat sex situation, you need 2 girls. The majority of this conversation is just one-on-one. And the hot chick on the other end isn't even naked. She's just wearing like a t-shirt. So if I'm paying for, I don't care if this is a free giveaway. I'm wasting my time trying to be on your chat thing and you're not even taking your clothes off. Go fuck yourself. I'll go play video games. How about that? Fucking freebie. Get out of here. Anyway, she's like, oh, you know what? I think the guy's name was Ben. You know what, Ben? Can you do me a favor? Can you just go to the kitchen and get a knife? And of course, this guy's like, oh yeah, I'd love to. He goes and gets a knife, and she's like, it'd be really hot if you cut your hand open. And he's a little apprehensive, but then he does it, and then he's like, oh, I kind of liked it. And she's like, you should just go ahead and cut your throat open. So, of course, he does it, and he basically commits suicide there on their stupid chat cam. And he like slumps over in his seat. And then these two finally start making out for a few minutes. But then they appear on his cam behind his dead body. And we get some very nonsensical demon stuff where they're like, we are centuries old and we will feast on the blood of flesh. God said we cannot murder anybody, but we can't. If somebody murders themselves, then they're good to go. So that is stupid. I'm sorry, but that's pretty dumb. Okay, so that's the end of your second segment. That's pretty dumb, right? Am I wrong? Is that, are you going to tell me you like that one? That's stupid. It's a chat sex thing with no sex, no nudity, some marginally attractive young ladies, but it's just stupid, man. It's just stupid. I'm sorry. Okay, that's your second segment. Now we cut back to the wraparound. Okay, very cool. So apparently we're back on stage, and apparently we've brought in some kind of device to radiate this area, because we think that getting back into the time dilation thing, if we throw ourselves a catnap and do it while we're in like a fallout zone or something, it's going to slow things down, and then we'll have better results that way. I don't know. I don't know what that even means, but that's what they do. The doctor puts himself to sleep again, and then the teaching student, teacher's aide is like, okay, hit the radiation button. So they radiate, and then they start filming with the camera again, and they're like, oh, pretty cool. And then the demon shows up again, and he's like, oh, I got you now, you fuckers. And he starts chasing them around the theater. So basically, the demon is there. Things are going to get even weirder, but not quite just yet, because we've got our last segment to get into here. This last one is called Amanda's Revenge. This one's probably the best out of the three. Well, if you don't count the wraparound, probably the best out of the three. So this one's called Amanda's Revenge. We start off at a college party in an apartment, and there's a bunch of people there, and they're all drinking and having a good time. Somebody's filming, of course. We meet our protagonist, Amanda. She's an attractive 20-something-ish type of a girl. And she's there, and apparently we just graduated from something because everybody's pretty happy. And Amanda has some drinks, then she has some more drinks, then she's getting drunk. Then she's like, woo, I'm going to get out of here. But then we get a little jump cut, and we basically see two dudes undressing her while she's unconscious in the bedroom. Good news is that a lot of Amanda's friends are there, so they stop the date rape from happening, going full bore with the date rape. And that's pretty cool. Now we cut to the next morning. She wakes up. She's all hungover. All of her friends are up before she is. And they're like, maybe we should just not say anything about that. But there's one chick there. She's like, we should tell her. She's going to press charges. We got it on film. And they're like, well, let's just see how she feels. I mean, if she doesn't remember, then it's probably best that we don't even bring it up. Because, you know, we don't want to psychologically scar her. So she comes out of the bedroom, and she's like catatonic almost, and she's like, you have no idea what they did to me. And then there's like a minor earthquake, like just a quick bang, and then she goes back to bed. They're like, what the fuck was that? They're trying to look at the news to see if anybody else was affected by the earthquake, and you find out there actually was no earthquake. Then she comes out of the bedroom again, and she's like, hey guys, what's up? I drank way too much last night. Can we get some food or what? And everything's cool. For a minute or two. Now, apparently after this, Amanda just, we get a lot of jump cuts in this one, kids. Amanda just kind of goes missing, and then she shows up periodically to Skype her friend, her guy friend there. So, like, she just kind of vanishes. They're like, we get like a Skype conversation between him and her, and she's like, you have no idea what's going on. These things are trying to get me. And he's like, hey, dude, I think you need some help. Why don't you go talk to somebody or something besides me? And she's like, I can't, they won't let me. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? And apparently she like hasn't been seen or heard from for a couple of days. And she's like in some shitty motel somewhere. So eventually she's like, look, I'll explain everything. I'm going to come back and see you. I need you guys to help me with this. And they're like, yeah, great. Come on back. We'll get you some professional help. So she comes back. Now we cut to a conversation that happens there with her and all of her friends. And basically what she tells them is that every night, like for the last couple years or weeks, months, I don't fucking know. Every single night she gets abducted by these things and they take her and they do some fucked up shit to her. She doesn't get into it, but I imagine it gets a little rapey because she's pretty hot. Anyway, she's like, okay, well, I'm going to sleep here tonight. You guys stay awake. And when you hear me scream, you come in here and you'll see them too. So they're like, okay, great. So she goes to sleep. And then Nancy Thompson style, they all take turns staying awake. But of course, they all immediately fall asleep. And then we cut to the next morning. The cameras are still rolling. But they're all distorted in the middle. And she comes out and she's like, what the fuck, you assholes? You were supposed to stay awake. And they're like, what? Yeah, what? No. Yeah. Well, they didn't hear her scream or anything, so they didn't get woken up. And everything seems to be cool. And she's like, no, they took me again and they fucked with me. So basically that experiment failed. Now we cut to like a day or two later. She's still there with her friend, but it's just him and her now. And she's like, look, man. I cannot fuck with these guys. I don't know what they are or where they come from, but they take me every single night. I've set up shotguns and cameras, and they just fuck everything up every time. So I don't know. I'm just going to get out of here because I don't want them taking you. Oh, by the way, I'm going to do this little trick that apparently I can do, and we find out she's telekinetic. She's got like a deck of playing cards, and she levitates one of the cards up to eye length and then drops it down again. So he's like, oh, that's pretty cool. You got telekinesis there. She's like, yeah, they gave it to me, but they keep fucking with me and I'm done with it. So she hauls ass again. All right. I don't know how much time is lapsing here, but we cut to a cabin in the woods that apparently she owns and has been living in. And her friend, the guy, has went and is staying with her. She's like, okay. And we see her like get her getting tough montage where she's kickboxing with him out in the woods. And he's like, okay, that was pretty badass. Let's see you do it again. And she levitates herself this time. She gets like 3 feet off the ground. That's pretty cool. So now, during this off time or whatever, she has devised this elaborate scheme to which she is going to catch these fuckers. So we get like this introduction about how her name is Amanda and she's been abducted every night for the last couple years and these things keep fucking with her, but she figured it all out. Apparently they can manipulate electronic devices and they can perceive threats. So what she's done is she's gotten herself like some old school 8mm foot like cameras from the 20s and like an old sonograph that she's going to use to record the sounds. And she's rigged up like water balloons full of sulfuric acid. Okay, pretty ingenious, I guess. So she's going to take herself a nap, and these things are going to come and get her, and they're going to get hit with the sulfuric acid, I guess. So this part's actually pretty dope because it cuts to that grainy 8mm footage. She takes a nap. Everything gets all shaky. These alien dudes show up. They get hit with the fucking sulfuric acid, and we get the sound and the 8mm footage. Part's actually pretty cool. She actually starts levitating off the bed for a minute. And then, you know, we get the screaming and the thrashing around, and then that's that. Now we cut to, I don't know, a week or two later. We got another Skype conversation between her and her friend. Apparently, she's still in the cabin, but this time she's all smiley. She's like, hey, they're still not back. They haven't come back. And he's like, yeah, that's great. And then we get a little, you know, hey, maybe we should be more than friends from now on. And she's like, yeah, that sounds great. And, but then they decide to go to sleep with the chat windows open, and we see all the alien shit happening to him now, not her. So, yeah, look out for that shit. Now he's going to get butt probed. Good for him. All right, so that's the end of that one. Now we cut back to our wraparound, and we're about to wrap this thing up. So they managed to evade the demon, but what we found out by radiating this little stage area, everybody in, on, or around the stage has slipped into the time dilation sequence. So basically they're existing in the demon world, or whatever you want to call it for lack of a better term, and everybody not on the stage is still in regular reality. So that's pretty wacky. They don't buy it. Well, the film student doesn't buy it. He's like, yeah, you guys are insane. I'm getting the fuck out of here. He takes one step off the stage and basically gets cut in half because you can't exist in both dilations at the same time, apparently. So he steps off the stage and like his lower midsection just like disappears and his guts are hanging out and he's dead. So look out for that there. And apparently this time dilation area is shrinking. So if they don't find a way out of there pretty quick, they're going to get killed. So the demon shows up again, and he basically puts the old professor in like this weird chokehold. The fucking student, the teacher's aide, is still filming while this happens. So she's running around trying to get away from the demon. Apparently the shrinking time dilation thing was bullshit because she runs off stage like it's no big deal. She gets outside where she sees the couple that were just complaining about what assholes they were. Just kind of, they're like frozen. They're like flash frozen. Excuse me. Frozen in time, if you will. And she's like, hey, I'm right here, you fuckers. But they're completely frozen, you know. They're like, their hair is out because it's a windy day. And she's like, oh my God, what the fuck is this? So she sets the camera down on the bench and just goes running off. And then we kind of get like a quick smash cut, and then we're back into real time, and we see the beginning opening sequence of those two, and suddenly the camera's there, and they're like, hey, where did this fucking camera come from? And then that kind of spins the whole thing around into a complete perfect circle of found footage anthology-ness. And that's pretty much your movie, man. That's The Dark Tapes from 2017. It's fine. I mean, that cam girl segment really killed it for me. I mean, it's pretty stupid, man. even by my standards, that's pretty dumb. It's fine. The wraparound's pretty good. That first segment with the serial killers and the ghost hunters, that's... I'm glad that didn't get made into a full-length feature because you'd run out of material pretty quick there, kids. I say Amanda's Revenge is probably the best it's going to get in this one. That one's pretty good. The wraparound's pretty solid. Other than that, I say you can probably, if this is not, VHS is much better. If you need yourself a found footage anthology, watch VHS or VHS 2. Don't watch VHS 3. You could probably skip the dark tapes. I'm going to take a break now, you motherfuckers. I'll be back.
The walls are closing in, my dark and secret place, unbearable things locked away. A crypt-like silent place, where I could shove down all the pain, all the tears of my life. My heart, it bears the scars, 1,000 open wounds cut through to the bone with despair. Another day has gone, another day in hell. What gives me the strength to go on? No one may ever see me bleeding. No one can ever know my pain.
If you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the patron link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
I have returned to complete the show. I'm feeling much better now. I went and had an energy drink and moped around the house a little bit, and now I'm back. And I'm ready to go. I think it's fight time.
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
I'm not gonna hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in. I'm gonna bash them right the fuck in. I'll kill you all. I'll drive you crazy. I'll kill you all. Dream come true.
6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face, with blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
to the Terradome.
Let's take a look at last week's winners, shall we? In singles competition, we had the Creeper versus Charles Lee Ray Chucky. The Creeper flew... Oh, crap. You know what? Scratch that. I'm not ready. The Creeper flew off into the night, a severed head of Andy Barclay in its left hand. In the field below lay the shattered remnants of what used to be a good guy doll. Torn, tattered, and bloody, now nothing but food for the morning vultures. With a vote of 12-7, the Creeper advances over Chucky. I would have been a little upset if Chucky had won this. I'm not going to lie to you. That would have been fucked up. But I'm glad it didn't come to that. So the Creeper advances over Chucky. That's good news. I don't think anybody actually likes Chucky. Did anybody take Chucky in this year's tournament? The answer is... No. No, they did not. So good news for you, you people who did not take Chucky. Let's take a look at the teams competition, shall we? Midian fell as foretold. The Nightbreed, or what few survivors, were scattered to the winds. As the necropolis burned, new inhabitants took root. Guardians of the Necronomicon, the demon host began possessing the dead and taking up posts within the cemetery. With a vote of 11-8, the demons advance over the old Nightbreed, unfortunately. I like the Nightbreed. That's a good show. It's a good movie. They're formidable opponents, I believe. I think they went to the championship a couple of times. I could be wrong about that. Anyway, there you have it. Let's take a look at this week's matchup, shall we? We are in the Asylum Conference Round 8 Singles Division. This week's going to close out the Asylum Conference in the preliminary rounds. That's pretty cool. As usual, inmates, bear with me. I'm not very good at writing things. The television went black. The power on the small steamer vessel had been shoddy from the start. Rachel wasn't at all surprised to see the TV go out, but was surprised when it came back on, the picture revealing a little girl crawling out of a well in the deep woods. Rachel was terrified. She and her son Noah had fled to South America after the events in Seattle. The discovery of a cursed VHS tape along with the murder of a very strange little girl. She was promised 7 days by the voice on the phone. In 7 days had gotten her as far away as possible, had gotten her to a riverboat headed south along the Amazon River to a scenic but forgotten cove known as the Black Lagoon. The ship's crew had begun disappearing a few days after leaving port, signs of a struggle and violence left in their cabins, and blood along the floorboards. The captain reassured Rachel that she and her son were safe, but she could see the man's anxiety beginning to rise. Singles competition, we have Samara versus the creature from the Black Lagoon. I am going to take Samara because she is a ghost and the creature is kind of slow and stupid. So I don't think you can actually drown Samara. I mean, technically she's a waterborne entity, right? She was drowned. She didn't drown in a well, but she starved to death or dehydrated, or she died in a well. So I'm going to go with Samara. The creature, other than just being a fucking throwback from a prehistoric era, really isn't all that impressive, you know? You could probably shoot him or stab him. And as long as he doesn't take you underwater, you're pretty much good to go, right? I'm going with Samara on that one. Let's take a look at the old teams competition. We're still in the Asylum Conference Round 8. The invasion had begun. Who or whatever they were had landed in population centers and began killing indiscriminately. Aliens for sure, but from where, no one could say. The military was quickly overrun as humanity fell into chaos. People began fleeing major cities in hopes for escape. Ash Williams wasn't waiting around either. He remembered his cousin's cabin in the woods, grabs his on-again, off-again girlfriend and heads out. No Martian was going to turn him into a science project. Upon arrival at the cabin, his girlfriend Linda takes to exploring the local woods, but quickly returns, screaming about something attacking her and refusing to leave the cabin. Ashley explores the basement looking for food and medical supplies, but instead returns with an old tape recorder and an even older book. Necronomicon Ex Mortis, The Book of the Dead. According to the book, It had the power to summon demons and raise legions of the dead. Ashley Williams could be humanity's savior, raise an army of the dead, fight off the alien invaders, and not even miss his shift at S-Mart. Team's competition, we have the Cloverfield Aliens versus the Deadites. This one's a tough one. I know a lot of you want to vote for the Cloverfield Aliens. I think I, however, am going to go with the Deadites. And the reason why is because they're already dead. And unless you, I don't know, I guess you could blow them up, right? If you blow them into real like little bits, then they go away, which I guess the aliens could do. I'm just going to vote for the Deadites just because I like them a lot more. They're fun, you know. They're playing the flute and stuff and banging on skull drums. That's a good time. I'm taking the Deadites on that one. Now that I think about it, I really have no logic to back that up other than I like the Deadites. So there you go. Those are your Terror Dome matchups for the weekend, mates. In singles, we have the old Samara versus the Creature from the Black Lagoon. Teams, we're looking at the Cloverfield Aliens versus the Deadites. As usual, get us your votes by next week if you can. We're going to go back to doing the show on Tuesdays after this. Mental Health Hotline is area code 775-387-0275. Or you get us on the regular old email at thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com. Ponder that. Tell me what you think. I'm going to, in the meantime, tell you what I've been looking at.
What are you looking at?
Oh, I got a few. It's been a fucking hectic week, to say the least, my friends. I did, however, get a few movies in. I checked out Fender Bender from 2016. Have you seen this one? This is another Chiller original. I didn't know it was a Chiller original until I already started watching it. But I finished it. I stuck it out. As the name would allude to, it's about a fender bender. So, you know, guy bumps into chicks and then they exchange information and then he shows up at their house and kills them. That's pretty much all there is to it, really. You know, it's a slasher, okay? But at the same time, it's made by the Chiller Network. So you have zero nudity, the violence is minimal, even the language is pretty tame. It's not very good. I did a episode of Insomnia on this one. So if you want the full scoop, head on over to the Patreon page, patreon.com/paddedroompod. I ran the whole thing down for you. It's not very good. You can skip that one. Even if you're some kind of a slasher fanatic, you can still skip that one because it's missing two out of the three tropes that you need for a good slasher. So fuck that right off. The Before Time from 2014. This one's not very good either. Found footage about a television crew that goes off in search. Well, basically, you got like a string of headless dead bodies found in a old stretch of desert in, I believe, New Mexico or Arizona. So a television crew goes down there to get the scoop on it. And basically, what we have there is, it's like a Native American spirit that's running around offing this television crew. And that's basically all it boils down to, babe. That's all you get. That's all you got there, you know? Just a whole crap ton of found footage, ass wipery, and they all end up getting killed at the end. They find the gold, but of course, that's what, you know, trips the spirit off, and then that's how it goes down. It's not a good show. Even if you're jonesing for some found footage, you can definitely skip this one. Lastly, Bad Meat. Watch this one for the Streaming Horror Society show. It's bad, as the name would allude. It's a bad show. This is a good example of a half a movie, I think is a good way of putting it. It's you got these kids. There's some hot chicks in it, but you don't get to see them naked. You got these kids that go to like a troubled youth camp, and then the counselors, as noted, get a hold of some bad meat, and then they get like a mad cow disease type of a situation. And then it just kind of goes, they end up attacking the kids. The kids get to try to fight them off. But about halfway through that storyline, it just ends. You know, you don't get to see which kids survive and which kids don't. It just stops pretty much. And it's bad. You can skip. If you're thinking you're going to have bad meat, go ahead and find something else to watch because it's bad. That's all I'm looking at, inmates. Let's take a look at some immersion therapy, shall we?
Immersion therapy.
Oh, did we all get a chance to watch The Nightmare? I saw it. I watched it. As far as documentaries go, it was pretty good, right? I got to tell you, though, man, I kind of felt like some of those people were just nutsacks that just kind of wanted to be... you know what I mean? Just kind of wanted some attention because they're not getting enough in their daily life. So they just came in. Well, I mean, all right, I've never had the sleep paralysis experience myself. I imagine it's terrifying if that's how it actually goes down. But like the one guy, he's like, oh, they look like TV static and they came and touched me in my butthole and stuff. Come on, man. Come on. Seriously, that you're the only guy that came up with that story. You got to admit, even you are getting a little far-fetched there, my friend. I don't know. I thought it was a well-shot documentary. It was very informative about sleep paralysis. I don't think it's demons, man. I got to be honest with you. On the same note, I don't believe in anything. I'm a full-blown atheist. Whatever you believe is fine. I don't care one way or the other, but I don't think that demons are coming and sitting on your chest while you're asleep. So, you know, without shitting on anybody's beliefs, if it's not demons, then it's just a melatonin overdose. It's basically, I've done some reading on the subject. Your brain, when you're going to sleep, your brain hits you with something called melatonin. And what that does is it paralyzes you while you're asleep. That way it keeps you from like getting up and acting out your dreams. Now, the way it was explained in the book that I read, your body-mind matrix is kind of like a manual transmission car. So as you're coming out of the dream state, your conscious mind starts to wake up. And if it's done, you know, on a regular basis, it's done perfectly so that you're regaining your functions as you're regaining consciousness. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way, though. Sometimes you regain consciousness along like a good minute or two before you regain functionality. And that's where the sleep paralysis myth was originated, because you're awake and you're, hey, what's going on? But you can't move. And that's pretty scary, right? That's a motherfucker, I guess. I don't know. I've never had that experience. But I think, you know, hey, if you think it's demons, if you think there's an old lady that's fucking with you while you're asleep, then... that's pretty creepy. I'll give you that much. I don't know what else I can tell you other than, maybe a multivitamin would be good for you. You ever think about that? Maybe not as much on the, double cheese pizzas. I don't know. Maybe that has something to do. I don't know. I don't know what causes that. Anyway, not a bad show. If you're, I know, like, for example, Monica has had the night terrors and the sleep paralysis, and she said that this actually scared her quite a bit because she's had the experience with the people standing over her and the shadow people and all that shit. She's also religious, too. I should mention that. So she found this whole thing to be terrifying. I can understand why. And who knows? If I actually have that experience, I might start going to church. I doubt it, but I might. You never know. Either way, if you're fascinated by the night terrors and the sleep paralysis, this is something good to check out if you're curious about it. Like I said, I wouldn't mind trying it once. whatever. I probably shit my pants. Anyway, your immersion therapy for this week, as chosen by me, is going to be Hypersomnia from 2016. Directed by Gabriel Greco, starring Yamila Saud and Gerardo Romano. Has something to do with human trafficking, inmates. So check that out. That's on Netflix. We'll do the same and compare notes next week. Normally, this is where we would educate Miss Monica. I got no Miss Monica to educate. And to be honest with you, I don't remember what her clues were from last week. So I have no idea about that. Why don't we go ahead and jump into the old werewolf segment here, shall we?
Oh,
The Company of Wolves.
Yeah, buddy. Inmates, I don't know what to tell you, man. I mean, I've been telling you this for going on 6 years. Take care of yourselves. You know, get some exercise. Keep an eye on the stuff that you eat and drink. And don't, I mean, it's very easy to fall into a sedentary lifestyle. But, dude, you got to stay active. Even if it's just like, you know, like going for a walk on a nice day. Do something. You know, you can't, I mean, I love watching horror movies and I love playing video games and I love sitting on the couch and taking a nap and all that shit. But dude, if you have too many of those lazy days, they start to add up, and before you know it, the lazy day becomes your routine. And then you start to pack the pounds on, and before you know it, you look like a big fat guy. And then the idea of getting up and going for a walk on a nice day becomes a bridge too far. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I'm not going to speculate because I don't know the particulars of what GP's condition was or what it was that actually did it in the end. But I do know that he was overweight, and that's the beginning of the end, right? Especially when you get to be our age. Like, I just turned 39, man. You believe that shit? I'm going to be 40 next year, and I am fucking struggling with keeping myself in some kind of shape. I don't know what kind of shape it is, but it's you know, I'm out there every day running my ass off just because I don't want to look like my dad did. So let's stay active, inmates. Let's keep an eye on the diet, not go too crazy with the bar food and the chicken wings and shit. And just fucking take care of yourself, man. It's easy to get into that, I'm going to die one day. I might as well have fun while I'm here. What you're not thinking about with that mentality is the people you're going to leave behind. And that's us. That's the padded room inmates. That's the people that care about you. That's the daughters and the sisters and the mothers and the brothers and everybody else that's gonna have to go to your funeral someday. And let's not be a selfish prick about it either, okay? You know? I know what you're thinking. You know, I want to eat another slice of pizza. Well, guess what, fucko? That's probably another, I don't know, 5 minutes off your life or something. I have no factual basis to base that on. But still, you know, don't be a selfish prick. People actually like you, so let's try to hang out a little bit and keep going with the voicemails and the nonsense. Because, you know, hey, man, if we don't have each other, we don't have anybody. This has been the Padded Room Podcast. And that's what we're doing. We're join me next week, inmates. We're going to be getting into James Wan month. I think we're going to start it off with The Conjuring. Let me just double check that, make sure we haven't already done it. I'm pretty sure we haven't. Yeah, join us next week for The Conjuring, starting James Wan month, as chosen by our own Jason Harrell. And that's what we'll do. As usual, inmates, like, comment, subscribe wherever you found this show. That always helps us out a lot. If you feel like making a little donation, you can do so at the Padded Room Patreon link. You can find that at patreon.com/paddedroompod. Or you can find all the information you need to get a hold of us at paddedroom.podbean.com. Is that right? Paddedroom.pod? Yeah, that's right. Monica and Buddy should be back joining me next week, and we will go from there, inmates. Thank you so much. And also, consider going to the GoFundMe page and helping out the Nerwinski family. Sarah would greatly appreciate it. I'd greatly appreciate it as well if you did that. Let's remember GP fondly and honor his memory. Keep an eye out for him and his family and move forward. Okay? Love you guys. See you next week. Visiting hours are over.